The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Diane Edelman for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Reader's Digest. I Can't Stop. A sports fan gets sucked into online betting. It nearly wrecks his family. Jordan Holt typed furiously on his computer in his Phoenix hotel room, searching for information on Buddy Held, then an Indiana Pacers guard. Jordan, a 43-year-old meter and relay technician for a power company, was steaming mad, having just watched an NBA game between the Boston Celtics and the Pacers. Held had made a three-pointer at the buzzer in the game that the Pacers had already secured, breaking an unwritten rule in late-game etiquette. But Jordan wasn't angry about Held rubbing in the victory. He was angry because the 3 points pushed the final score to 122-112, 1 point above the over-under line on his parlay bet. Jordan lost the $100 bet, but in his mind, he lost $700 in what should have been winnings. He started searching for his Instagram address, Jordan said. I was going to scream at him. I wanted to go off on him. It was December 2023, and Jordan was deep in the spiral of a rapidly growing problem, online sports betting addiction. In the wake of a 2018 Supreme Court ruling that enabled states to make sports gambling legal, the industry has exploded. In 2023, the industry brought in $10.92 billion, up 44.5% from 2022, according to the American Gaming Association. Jordan never thought he would be a part of the trend. In fact, he had resisted it. In 2021, he had chuckled at a text message from a friend who was trying to lure him into joining FanDuel, an online sports wagering operation. The latest attempt included a link with a promotion. If Jordan signed up, both of them would receive $50 for wagers. Jordan texted back, I'm good, bro, LOL. Why you keep trying to give a crackhead crack? Later he would text, Trust me, man, I want to set up an account. I just know where that rabbit hole leads me. For the previous 14 years, Jordan had carried with him a stinging memory of gambling. As a 26-year-old in 2007, he had gone into a casino near his home in Yuma, Arizona, thinking he would have a few drinks and play blackjack with buddies. He figured he wouldn't gamble more than $200. By the end of the night, there were multiple wire transfers and more than $2,000 lost to the casino. Distraught at his irresponsible decisions and lack of control, he arrived at the home of his girlfriend in the early morning hours and wept. Now the game had changed. After years of avoiding casinos, the online sportsbook was coming to him. He could bet from his couch, his car, at his job, in his hotel room, all with the touch of a finger on his smartphone. Researchers say this is a familiar playbook, one that mirrors the psychological approach used by slot machine designers to create continuous play. Slots use certain colors and sounds to keep players engrossed. The sports wagering apps use in game betting, parlays, and free bonuses. They have learned the psychology of slot machines, says Michelle Malkin, an assistant professor at East Carolina University, who has studied online sports betting. The same kind of people who may get lost in a slot machine will get lost in those same kind of apps. For the next year, Jordan was bombarded with enticements, radio ads, billboards, news media promotions. Even the NFL and NBA broadcast he watched were touting how easy, fun, and exciting it was to bet before and during the game. Once staunch opponents of wagering, professional sports leagues have now embraced the industry, unwilling to miss out on the new revenue streams. On a whim in the fall of 2022, after a day of drinking beers with friends, Jordan entered the rabbit hole and joined FanDuel. His bets started slowly, with light action on the weekend football games. A $10 bet here, a $20 bet there. He won one, lost one, won another. The winnings, $20, maybe $40, were not memorable. It became a fun distraction, something he and his wife Chantel Holt would sometimes do together. Late one night, with all the games over in the United States, Jordan searched for action. He discovered how vast the options were to place bets internationally. Table tennis, rugby, cricket. His interest was piqued by women's basketball leagues in Japan and South Korea. Jordan, within weeks, had turned his $100 initial deposit into $600. He started dreaming big. He envisioned treating his teenage son, Sebastian, to an NFL game in Los Angeles. He started thinking about family vacations, dance lessons for his 11-year-old daughter, Harper, house renovations. His first goal was two tickets in the VIP section at a Chiefs Chargers game for $700 each. Considering he had once won $1,000 in a weekend, he figured he could win enough bets to pay for the trip before the November 20 game. There was a problem. The once steady stream of wins was turning into a landslide of losses. He began chasing his money. If he lost $100 in the previous game, he would bet $200 in the next game to win that money back. In one day in November, he lost $1,000. Losing $1,000 somehow wasn't as painful as the night in the casino more than a decade ago, when he would physically withdraw money and hand it to dealers. These new losses were all electronic, the funds siphoned from his bank account into the FanDuel account. Online betting allowed him to empty his bank account without having a tangible sense of the losses. The sheer convenience of it all was sublime for FanDuel's business, but vexing for Jordan's judgment. "I looked at it like Monopoly money," Jordan says. "I didn't see it as real money. I couldn't physically touch it. I couldn't hold it." He told Chantel about his $1,000 loss. Their solution was for her to open a FanDuel account so she could monitor and regulate his play. The loophole in that plan was that Jordan never closed his account. He began double-dipping, betting with both accounts. The Chiefs Chargers tickets he and Sebastian coveted were purchased. "On her end of FanDuel, it looked like we had won money for the trip," Jordan says. "But on my end, we were going into debt." On November 29, 9 days after attending the Chiefs Chargers game, Jordan took out a $3,500 loan from United Services Automobile Association, a banking and insurance firm for military and veterans. He needed it to pay their mortgage. On December 8, he took out a $5,000 loan from USAA to pay off the first loan and to have extra money for gambling. He told himself that he would do things differently, research statistics more deeply before betting, and stop after winning $100 in a day. 13 days after his second loan, he took out a third, this time for $8,000. His purpose for gambling had changed. Instead of trying to win money to attend games, go on vacations, or build backyard sheds, he was playing to cover his growing secret. "My goal was to win that money back so nobody would know," Jordan says, "and I wouldn't have to tell the truth that I was a crappy person who just lost this money on stupid sports betting." Concealing his gambling habits and conniving to cover his losses became his new way of life. Christmas in 2022 was designed to be memorable. A cabin rented in Prescott, Arizona. Plans to hike, shop, and sightsee with the kids. Memories were indeed made. Jordan just wasn't part of them. On Christmas Day, he bet himself into another jam. Losses on the day's football games mounted, spurring him to search for overseas basketball games to wager on after the family went to bed. Needing to win big, he bet big, $1,000 on an overseas game in which he didn't know the names of the players or where the teams were from. Daybreak brought two sobering realities. He had lost his bet, and his bank account was dry. As his family enjoyed the day, he stayed in the cabin trying to replenish their bank account. The mortgage was due in 5 days. He went back to USAA. It was 5 days after his latest loan. This time, he took out $11,000, paying off the $8,000 and getting an additional $3,000 to gamble. In his mind, he had secured a victory. His FanDuel account was once again flush. Then, in March 2023, he bet $500 on a four-game NBA parlay. The first three games ended in his favor. All he needed was for Phoenix to win at Golden State to cash in on several thousand dollars. After the first quarter, the Golden State Warriors led the Phoenix Suns 43-21. Then the Suns started a slow comeback, pulling to 75-58 at halftime. Late in the third quarter, Phoenix pulled to within 3 points. "I could feel my face getting hot," Jordan says. Phoenix never got closer and lost 123-112. "I wept," Jordan says. "I didn't bawl my eyes out, I just wept." Since Christmas, he had secured an additional three loans. His debt had reached $50,000. Of Chantel's favorite things in life, taking a hot bath ranks at the top. And on a May evening in 2023, she was well into her soak when Jordan entered the bathroom and sat near her. He told her he was deep in debt. "I started laughing because he's always joking," Chantel says. But then he says he was serious and started to tell me he needed me to help sign contracts to take out money. She cried. "I'm sitting there naked when I'm most vulnerable," she says. "I'm still pissed at him for telling me when I was in the tub." Jordan had done the groundwork on taking out a home equity loan for $70,000. It paid off three loans in the amounts of $31,000, $10,000, and $15,000 that he had taken since January. The Holtz also paid off their credit card and bought furniture. Jordan vowed to stop gambling and seek help. He contacted the Department of Veterans Affairs, but they were no help. Unfortunately, people don't look at gambling as the same problem as an alcoholic or someone hooked on meth, because you are not physically harming yourself, Jordan says. "So I would talk to a VA counselor, and it was like, gambling? Well, stop." Jordan told Chantel he was done gambling. They were embarking on a new start. When Jordan got his first bill for the home equity loan, he gulped. It was $650, and he couldn't imagine making that payment every month. His solution to getting money quickly was a familiar one: gambling. The vow to stop gambling had lasted 16 days. To support his habit, he needed funds. USAA, where he did his banking, would no longer give him loans, forcing him to take on high-interest loans from companies like NetCredit and Lightstream. On June 8, NetCredit gave him a $4,000 loan. He hated himself. Several times he tried quitting and would go days without placing a bet. Then his phone would ping. It was his VIP representative from FanDuel with a text message. "Hey, Jordan, I just gave you a $200 bonus bet into your account." They had their claws in him, and he knew it. The ease of betting on his phone, plus the come-hithers that FanDuel unleashed as his losses mounted, were an irresistible combination. It was mobile app versus human willpower, and it was a total mismatch. He doesn't blame anyone but himself for his gambling, but he also harbors some resentment toward FanDuel. I think the way FanDuel exploits people like me, if somebody doesn't gamble for a couple of days, they all of a sudden get a deposit bonus or, hey, you are part of a VIP club, Jordan says. It should be controlled more. It's the wild, wild west. With his money dwindling and knowing that no other lenders would consider him for a loan, Jordan made what he calls his Hail Mary bet. On January 11, 2024, he made a 12-leg parlay, a string of 12 bets that combined to make one bet. Betting a parlay increases the potential payout, but lessens the odds of winning because so many things have to go right. His wager of $200 could win him $20,000. He made the bet while he was in Phoenix training for his new job as a meter and relay technician. On his 3-drive-hour home to Yuma, he noticed that 11 of his 12 bets had covered. The remaining bet was the over on Boston-Milwaukee NBA game. He needed the teams to combine to score more than 242 points. The Celtics at the time were the most dominant team in the NBA and would go on to win the NBA title. But on a night when Jordan needed the Celtics' offense to be prolific, it fell flat. The game ended as he arrived home. Milwaukee 135, Boston 102. 237 total points. He lost. So I'm sitting in my driveway thinking, how am I going to tell my wife? He says, that was the last of my money. When he went inside, Chantel could tell something was off, she says. She was excited to see him after he had been gone a week. She wanted to have drinks and sit in the hot tub. She wanted to be intimate. Jordan was too absorbed in his crushing loss to reciprocate her attention and desires. The next morning, she found it odd that he awoke early and took his phone to the bathroom. When he was in the bathroom, he transferred money from a savings account to make another bet. After he returned to bed, he eventually got up to make coffee and left his phone. She looked and found the FanDuel app. He confessed. With the kids home, well within earshot, she told him they were done. She used words like disgust and idiot. She couldn't believe she was having another moment like 8 months ago. Since she had sat in the tub and he told her he had lost $50,000, he had gone even deeper in debt. He had lost another $60,000. I was pretty harsh, Chantel says. At that point, I couldn't stand him. It's mid-August, and as Jordan enters from the back patio, holding a plate of grilled steaks, he casts a passing glance at his kids, who squabble as they take a seat at the dining table. Sebastian takes a swipe at Harper's shoulder, eliciting a small squeal. Jordan snaps, "Sebastian, knock that off," he says sternly. "What? I didn't do anything," Sebastian pleads. Order is restored with one word from the far end of the kitchen. "Kids," Chantel says firmly. It doesn't escape Jordan that with the kids, his voice doesn't match Chantel's impact, another reminder of his diminished authority since his gambling problem was exposed. "I just don't think my family sees me as the same," Jordan says. His annual activity statement from FanDuel for 2023 is a sobering snapshot of what being a sports fan can look like in this fledgling era of app-based betting. 878,529.56 wagered, $7,839 provided by FanDuel in enticements. Exactly 4,059 bets were placed, an average of more than 11 a day, and $63,000 lost. By the end of 2023, in the 15 months since he'd made his first bet, he had lost more than $110,000, nearly all his annual income of $120,000. It was January 12 when Chantel found his FanDuel account and confronted him, and Jordan now calls January 13 his recovery birthday. He started attending Gamblers Anonymous meetings and now goes to 3 meetings a week. A spokesperson for Gamblers Anonymous says that since 2020, men like Jordan are increasingly common at their meetings. Before 2020, people in their 40s attending a meeting would be the youngest in the room. Now it's the most common age range, a direct result of sports gambling. Today we are opening meetings all over, specifically geared for males between 20 and 40, a spokesperson says. And the week before, somebody was in a meeting with a 14-year-old. As Jordan attends his meetings, school has started in Yuma after the whole summer came and went without a vacation. They had been scheduled to escape the Sonoran Desert's scorching heat in early July, but Jordan canceled the trip in June. The family knows the uncomfortable truth. They couldn't afford vacation because of Jordan's gambling losses, which have also disrupted his marriage. At one point, Jordan says, he printed out divorce papers. But in a last-ditch effort, the couple decided to try to make it work, and they both report progress. They have seen counselors. Chantel says she sees an improvement in Jordan since he stopped gambling. He is more present and less irritable. Jordan and Chantel are realistic and cautious about making any claims that they are out of the woods. Unfortunately, my trust level? It's very low, Chantel says. She says she now checks their bank statements weekly. She runs reports on him through Credit Karma to make sure he hasn't taken out another loan. He imposed a self-ban on FanDuel, DraftKings, and Arizona casinos that lasts for 5 years. He has also installed the Gambin app on his phone, which prohibits him from accessing sports betting-related websites. He is paying off their second home equity loan by having $500 taken out of each biweekly paycheck. The Holtz are in debt, but they are not destitute. Jordan says it would be foolish to say he is 100% over his addiction. I feel like gambling is always there with me. That was I Can't Stop by Jason Quick. Now another article, A Piggyback Ride from a Stranger. After an elderly woman broke her leg on a hill, a hiker spent hours carrying her down, by Sydney Page. Once a year, Ursula Bannister climbs to High Rock Lookout, a viewpoint near Ashford, Washington, where she scattered her mother's ashes 23 years ago. She usually hikes with someone along the 3.2-mile trail. Last August, Bannister, then 79, went on her own, figuring she'd be fine because she's an experienced hiker. It's steep, so it's considered a hard hike, but because I've done it so many times, I wasn't nervous about it, says Bannister, who lives in Tacoma. She arrived at the trail at around 11 a.m. and made her way to the lookout. As she headed back down, her foot got caught in a hole in the ground. She fell forward. By the time I sat up, my foot was pointing the wrong way. I knew right away I had broken my leg, Bannister says. She cried out for help, and before long, a stranger approached and called 911. They were told a search and rescue team would arrive in 5 hours. It wasn't very encouraging, Bannister says. I asked this man to please ask if anybody had any painkillers, because at that point, the pain was pretty substantial. No one in the vicinity did, but 2 young men came over to see what was going on. When they saw Bannister on the ground in agony, they made an offer. They would carry the injured woman to the bottom of the trail. Troy May, an Air Force airman stationed at Joint Base Lewis Accord, had hiked up to the lookout that day with his friend Leighton Allen. I knew I was capable of carrying her down, says May, then 20. I really didn't make much of a decision. I just knew I needed to carry her down if I could. May eased Bannister onto his back and started hiking downward. He carried her for most of the nearly 3-hour journey, and Allen carried her for the rest. Others pitched in as well. Shortly into the hike, May, who was wearing cowboy boots, got blisters on the bottom of one foot. A man on the trail saw the situation and gave May his shoes, then continued on in his socks. That was just one kindness, says Bannister. A couple hiking that day also lent a hand. One, a physical therapist, bandaged Bannister's foot and built a makeshift splint for her leg out of wooden scraps. The other, an occupational therapist, did breathing exercises with her to help calm her. I was just overwhelmed with gratitude that these people literally came out of the woods to help me, she says. During the long hike down, her rescuers shared stories and asked Bannister about her own life to distract her from the mounting pain. She told them about her childhood in Germany and what it was like moving to the United States in 1959 when she was 14. Their efforts to distract her worked, Bannister says. If I didn't focus on my pain, I didn't scream quite as loudly, she says. Once they reached the parking lot, Alan drove Bannister to the Tacoma General Hospital, about 2 hours away, and Mae followed them in his car. At the hospital, Bannister learned that she had broken her leg in three places, tibia, fibula, and heel bone. The emergency team was very impressed by the splint that the therapist had built, said Bannister, adding that doctors told her the damage likely would have been worse as she waited longer to get medical attention. She arrived home that night at 1 a.m. with crutches and had to wait a week for the swelling to go down before she could undergo surgery. I am now the proud owner of 11 screws and a titanium plate in my leg, Bannister says. During her recovery, the people who helped her down from High Rock Lookout had checked in several times. I think we'll be friends for a really long time, Bannister says. That was A Piggyback Ride from a Stranger by Sydney Page. We have run out of time for today's episode. I'm Diane Edelman, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reader's Digest is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call area code 919-832-5138. That number again is area code 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.